Okay. Well, here we are again. Welcome to another Sunday with Zion's Trumpet. How's everybody doing this week? Everybody's doing good? Sissy had a rough week. Everybody else is doing pretty good. Welcome back, Joey. A couple of people were asking about you last week, seeing where you were and how you're doing. Was it going nuts, anything before we started? I don't think so. No. Well, we'll just start up and see what's happening with everybody. Anybody who has, this is open mic night. All right, so we're just going to open right up and see who wants to go first. Jump right up, put your hand up, and we'll give you the mic. We'll start out right away. Looks like Sister Irma wants to say something. Go ahead, Irma.
Okay, I just had a little testimony I wanted to give. I wrote some down because I'm not so good at this, but I just had to let you know that your teachings on how spirits can work in our lives were very profound to me this week, and they reached deep down in my spirit and caused me to look at my life, past and present. I realized truly how important it is to put on the whole armor of God daily. These messages help me see many avenues that spirits work through me in my life, such as my thoughts, my words, many, many circumstances, and many times through my own very own desires. I do have a better understanding how to recognize the spirits and have increased of knowledge to know how to battle the enemy. And through these teaching, I know this will help bring me more victory into my life. And I want to thank you so much, Dan. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, thanks, Herbert. You're welcome. Thanks for sharing. Good for you. You got the mic conquered. Good for you. Looks like Sissy wants to speak. Go ahead, Sissy. You got the mic.
Hi, everybody. Hope you all hear me. I'm a little hoarse tonight. Kind of along the same line with Irma, it's funny that she kind of said some of the things I had on my heart. But one of the things that I kind of picked up on this week, and I think it's been because of the teaching, a lot of it has been. I've also been reading a book called The Harlot Church by Elliot Newbold. And Dan, you know, as a believer, we ought to be good Bereans and search things out for ourselves, as they did even when Paul spoke. And but it's funny how the Lord has confirmed so much of what you've spoken about. And what I discovered this week, as the Lord was dealing with me on something, because I was very frustrated in a situation where I was trying to make things work the way I wanted them to work, and they weren't coming out the way I wanted them. And so I was kind of thumbing through one of the books I have here, and the Lord showed me that there's no way in the world that's going to change unless I absolutely hand that over to Him. Basically, that's a spirit of witchcraft, which is rebellion, which is control, and God is not glorified in that, and I had to repent of that. And I'd never understood it to be that before. I deep down in my heart, I knew there was something just wasn't right, but the Lord showed me that. And boy, I tell you, it's been a tough week. And but the Lord has given me the victory, and I believe the victory is going to continue to be won only because He's exposing these things. And that's the one thing the enemy hates. He doesn't like to be shown up, you know. And one thing that I told the Lord, I am so angry when I look back and I see the things that the enemy has done in my family, and I'm saying, you know, this is going to stop. And so I'm praying fervently. My desire is to be one of the crucified ones, to lay down my life, and to just have Him truly be the only thing that matters in my life. And that's where I'm heading. I'm pressing on, and I just thank the Lord, and I thank you so much for the teaching, and God bless you all. I turn over the mic.
Thanks, Sister Sissy. That's great. Good testimony. I'm glad the Lord's showing you things. Amen. Looks like we got Sister Kim. Go ahead, Kim. You got the mic.
It was a real blessing when Harold and Judy came to visit, and at that time, the Lord started seriously dealing with me regarding my caffeine addiction. Harold shared his testimony about when he quit coffee, not knowing that the Lord was speaking to me about it. Then Pam shared her testimony with me about when the Lord told her to quit drinking coffee. The next week, I lost my temper at work, and that was the final straw for me. I felt my nerves were on edge, and I knew that the 7 or more cups of coffee I was drinking was definitely not helping the situation. And I just wanted to throw a note in there that I don't think drinking coffee is wrong for everyone, but that the Lord was speaking this to me personally. So I quit cold turkey that night, and the next day my head hurt. I was more irritable than ever, and I could not stay awake past 6:30. Still, I pressed on and did not give up, because I knew the Lord had his reasons for putting his finger on my addiction. The first 3 days were the worst. I took ibuprofen for the pain, but it wasn't enough. I still felt strange physically, and somehow strange spiritually. The third or fourth day, I started praying for Jesus to help me, and I had an intercessory prayer. Afterwards, I felt like a weight had been lifted off of me, and I felt awake and alert for the first time. It was truly a miracle for me, because I had heard that some people are often miserable for a week or two after quitting coffee. I had been drinking coffee for 16 years. As the days passed on, I noticed other benefits. At work, when I received thoughts that were not from the Lord, I was able to take them captive before acting on them. Before, I was receiving thoughts so rapidly that it seemed I was unable to take them captive, and I would realize it too late. I feel the Lord showed me that this is because caffeine is a stimulant, and it speeds up everything, from our heart rate to our thought processes. I can witness to this as being true from experience, because after I quit, I did not think as quickly as before. I was able to pause after thoughts, and even my physical reflexes were a little slower than before. It seems crazy to me now that I drank coffee to try and stay awake, because now I have so much more energy. I used to be exhausted after working for just 3 or 4 days, but recently it was necessary for me to work 12 days straight, and I was full of energy. I can see now that my caffeine addiction was an advantage Satan had over me. It was much easier to push my buttons as he created situations at work. Now when something breaks down at work, I am more able to take it in stride than before. When several things happen rapidly in succession, it is easier for me to deal with situations as they occur. I am by no means out of the water. I still have to fight. But now I have one more advantage that I did not have before. The Lord has also been dealing with my pride, especially at work. I started asking the Lord to humble me, and he spoke to me. Point blank, he said, "Humble yourself." That whole day, the scripture, "Humble yourself and you will be exalted," kept running through my mind. God made it clear that he was not going to step in and zap me with humility. I had to take the first step and humble myself, and then he stepped in and helped me after that. Okay, now this is a new subject, so I just want to let you know, this is what the Lord put on my heart last night, or yesterday, and I asked Mom about it, whether it would be okay to share it or not, and she said that that would be fine, so this is now changing the subject, going on to something else. Every 2 weeks on Saturday, Annabelle, Barry, Irma, and Gracie take my girls and I out to breakfast in Harrisburg. Afterward, we go to Gracie's and fellowship. During one of these times, 2 weeks ago, Mom shared something that I asked her if I could share on the program tonight. The time she spoke on the program and came under condemnation from the devil, the Lord showed her something very plain about the difference between the thoughts we receive from the flesh, which is also known as the old man, and the thoughts we receive from unclean spirits. It helped me so much to understand the difference. and it witnessed with my experience in fighting thoughts in my own life. The thoughts we receive from the old man are easier to resist because they are natural thoughts. We can easily, in our own strength, resist and deny the flesh. This explains why unsaved people can stop sinning if they choose to, by exercising their will over their desire to sin. They do this without the help of the Holy Spirit. But when a thought or desire comes from a spirit, like the thought Mom had from a spirit of condemnation, it told her that it was not the Lord's will that she share on the program that night. When that attack came from the enemy, it was backed by supernatural power. Our flesh does not possess supernatural power. Because of this supernatural element, when she started to fight the thought and feeling of condemnation, it did not lift right away. The spirit kept on attacking her to try and convince her of its lies, and it had supernatural power behind it. We cannot fight supernatural power ourselves, like we can resist our flesh. Only the Holy Spirit is a match for satanic supernatural power. Only when she rebuked the thought in the name of Jesus and called on the blood of Jesus did the spirit leave. And that's all I have to share.
Hey, that's a good testimony, Kim. Very good. Good testimony. Hang on a second, guys. Mom says she wants to share something about what Kim said.
Is that okay?
Yeah, sure. No problem. Okay.
Hi, everyone. I just was wanted to share. It goes along with what Kim was saying. It's Galatians 5:17. It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." And this is what I was found out with what the Lord was showing me, that when Paul said, "I die daily," Paul died daily. He did have the power to kill his flesh and to die daily. He had that. He did that himself, and he said, "I keep my body under, so that after having preached to many, I myself will not become a castaway." So that was what Paul had to do. He himself. He didn't say the Lord kept my body under, or the Lord helped me die every day. Every day he died to his flesh, and every day he had to keep the flesh and the body under so that the spirit man, the new man, would have preeminence over the old man. And this is the thing that a lot of people are talking about. But what Danny's trying to make real is that there's two battles, that we have that battle with the flesh daily. But when it comes to battling thoughts or things that Satan's throwing at us, then Paul admonished us to put on the full armor of God, because he knew that we needed supernatural help to fight supernatural spirits. And when Paul told them to put on the breastplate of righteousness, he was speaking to Christians. And these Christians had already had imputed righteousness applied to them. But he was saying, now make that righteousness your righteousness by living according to my will each day. Put that righteousness, a breastplate of righteousness on if you want to stand against the wiles of the enemy. And put on the helmet, and that's what Kim's dealing with, the helmet of salvation to sort out her thoughts and not give in to any of the thoughts, whether they're from the flesh man or whether they're from Satan. And you know, that flesh man's going to try and pop up every day until either we go to meet the Lord or he comes for us. The flesh man wants his way, and he wants to give us thoughts and desires from the old man instead of us walking in the new man. And so that's our daily battle, to walk in the new man and put those thoughts from the flesh man, those thoughts and desires from the flesh man under, and keep the spirit, the new man, on top. That's our battle daily. But the battle with Satan is altogether different. We have to really put on the full armor of God to stand against the wiles of the devil, especially in this evil day that Paul told us about. So there's two different strong battles we're in, and the one is dying to the flesh, and the one is standing against the wiles of the devil. the craftiness of the devil. So it's, we must put on the full armor of God to fight the supernatural powers. Like Kim said, the flesh man is a natural thought, which we can deal with. But when Satan comes with his thoughts, we need help from the Holy Spirit to deal with him. That's it. Thank you. Shalom.
Amen. All right. Who else has something? Well, while you're thinking, I'm going to play something for y'all. There's a brother out there who used to come to the room. He hasn't come to the room anymore. He doesn't do Pal Talk anymore at all, period, because he got viruses on his machine and all kinds of trouble in his machine. Plus, he got a job that early hours, just got early in the morning. So he's not on Pal Talk anymore, but once in a while, this is to my messages still, I guess. This series on spirits, he was listening to, and he contacted me and just gave a little testimony to encourage me, you know, let me know what I'm teaching is true as far as he's concerned. And I asked him to put that little testimony on the recording and send it to me. So that's what we did. I sent him a recorder, little one of these little voice recorders. He recorded it. He sent it back to me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play this brother's testimony. And I don't know if you all remember Jim Jones. Does anybody here remember Jim Jones? Okay, he's okay. He's coming in the Lord very well. He just doesn't do Pal Talk anymore.
Well, my name is Jim, and I'd like to share a testimony, but before I get started on my testimony, I want you to know that although I was 20-plus years in the Lord, I wasn't very mature. I blame the church system for that, as it keeps us from truly maturing. Even with all the Bible study that I did, I was like a child, and I believed that anything that I would hear, if it had Christian in front of it, it had to be good. Even though I've seen some very, very weird things over the years, I could not conceive that Satan was having a heyday with God's people. So in the year, in 2003, I was able to start a lifelong dream, or at least a dream that I had had for 20-some years, and that was to go to a Bible college. Through some rather supernatural events, I ended up going to the International House of Prayer's Forerunner School of Ministry. IHOP, we called it for short. Who could ever think that a place where there was 24-hour prayer going around 7 days a week could be a breeding ground for religious spirits? I at the time didn't know that there was such a thing as religious spirits. IHOP is an ecumenical movement, and that's how they keep the prayer and worship going 24/7. As any church that wants to sing or play music for a two-hour slot is welcome to participate. And they have a very strong Catholic influence also. If you ever heard of the Kansas City Prophets, they had a strong influence in this movement, at least at the conception. There's a heavy influence of prophecy and signs and wonders. This was big stuff for this country boy, horseshoer. I said about IHOP just to lay a bit of groundwork. In class and at teachings that we had on Friday nights, we were encouraged to pray and to fast and, of course, to be in the Word. And what could be wrong with that? It was about the middle of the trimester, while I was in prayer and Bible study, that I got a very strong word from the Lord. You have all had experiences of reading the scriptures when a verse would leap out at you. Well, I was reading John chapter 14, and when I came to verse 12, it stood right out. I mean, it was just like highlighted. And it reads, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." I asked the Lord, "Well, Lord, what greater works would I do?" And I heard in my inner man very clearly, "The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped." And I asked the Lord, "Well, don't you mean the ears of the deaf will be opened?" And I heard again, "Write it as I said it." And it was almost commanding, because see, I was journaling at the time. I was writing all this stuff down as I was doing it. I then asked the Lord, "But why at this time? I have not seen any greater things, you know, any greater works." And I heard very clearly again, "The culmination of the ages has come." And then that was it. My time of prayer, and it just stopped. I was a bit shaken, and I was kind of excited. You see, I'm not one of those people. I'll always hear a word from the Lord so clearly. And in fact, I don't think I ever heard, at least up to that time, that kind of a word. I mean, I never did. So I decided to go for a cup of coffee at the coffee house and library that IOP owned to ponder all this. And I was rather shaken on the drive over. I was praying. I said, "Lord, did this really happen, or is this some kind of my imagination going amok? Would you please give me a confirmation? Well, I got to the coffee house, got my cup of coffee, and as I sat down, I just kind of opened my Bible, and it opened to Isaiah 35. The caption at the top of the chapter was the future glory of Zion. That interested me, and I started to read. And when I got to verse 5, it read, "The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped." Well, I about fell out of my chair. This was what the Lord said I was to write down. And boy, this was my confirmation. I just knew that this was the Lord. I mean, how could this happen? But the only problem is I didn't know what the word come at, because my vocabulary wasn't very broad at the time, and I don't know if it is yet. But just at that time, as I'm thinking about all this, I had one of my teachers walk in, and he walked past me. He walked to go to the library. He walked around the library. He wasn't even there a minute. He almost kind of looked kind of bewildered, and he turned to walk out. And I ran up to him, and I says, "Kirk, I got to tell you what just happened." So I told him the whole story. But then I asked him, I says, "But I don't know what the word culmination means." And he looked at me and he said, "You wrote what you heard, and you don't know if what you wrote is a real word?" And I said, "Yeah. I was just writing it as I got it." Well, he said, "Culmination is a wrapping up of time. It's a fulfillment of God's plan." He got pretty excited at that time, and I got really excited because I thought, wow, this really is a word from the Lord. So for the longest time, I had truly believed that I had heard a word from the Lord. But I don't anymore. Over time, the Lord revealed to me that He is not a God of mixture. We have many examples in the Old Testament and in the New of this. In 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 16, I'd like to share it. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Well, we have all heard Dan warn us that our enemy is a very intelligent adversary. And this is so true. What kind of a fool are we dealing with that can speak a word, give me a craving for a cup of coffee, have me open my Bible to that scripture that I was told to write down, and also move upon another man to come into the library and then turn to leave as if he didn't even know why he came in there? And then we both meet and talk about it and think that, wow, this was a divine appointment. And I'm not making any of this up. We were under a very strong influence. Kirk was a very New Age man in his teachings, although I'm sure he would deny it. One of our assignments from him was to take a scripture and pray it repeatedly, nonstop, for 2 hours, and tell the Lord what that scripture means, or just whatever the Lord wanted to say on that. Well, this on the surface may sound good, but it's repetitious prayer, and it's in reality it's a mantra, and it opens one up to something other than the Holy Spirit. So it isn't hard to figure what could prompt him to come into the coffee shop while I was there. And the teaching I was exposed to is very dominionist. Mike Bickle proclaimed many times that there be a worldwide revival with 1 billion souls just being saved from their movement alone. The word I received fit right in with the teachings and prophecies we were receiving about going to the nations to win souls. This was speaking to my ego. As a remnant forerunner for Christ, this pride I had to confront when I could see it at a later time. I wasn't outwardly a prideful person, but it was there, as I wanted to be looked up, you know, be looked up to as a man of God. And this is wrong. To stand between Christ and man, this is the deeds and doctrines of the Nicolaitans. It's power over the people. And this whole apostles and prophets thing breeds this. This is a strong religious spirit. It sounds like the Lord, remember I was praying and reading the word at the time I received this? Most people that I've tried to warn just cannot conceive being fooled in such a way. Many have said, excuse me, many have said, as long as we're sincere, God wouldn't let us be deceived. Well, I was very sincere in my walk and relationship with the Lord. I did not know that I had hidden pride and that the enemy would capitalize on that. but I was in the wrong camp, and thus I was open, should I say, to the strong man that was over that movement. And looking back, there are a couple things that if I would have been more astute or more mature, perhaps I would have caught that this was not the Lord. How commanding the voice is when it said, write it as I said it. At the time, it shook me, and I thought, well, God means business. But this is not in keeping with the fruit of the Spirit, kindness, goodness, or gentleness. That alone should have caused suspicion. Also, when I ran across Isaiah 35, verse 5, it was taken out of context. And that's a big no-no. I feel fortunate that my wife and I have escaped that and several other movements, and the Lord led us out of them, although it was through much trial and heartache. A lot of heartache. I have become very sober as to the reality of religious spirits and how they can influence us. We have to be lovers of the truth, which is an easy thing to say, and most would agree with that. But what truth are we believing? Is it a denomination or what? Also, Philippians 2:12 has a whole new meaning. At least this part, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I say this not that I'm in fear, but I am so much more aware of the narrow road and the total surrender of our life that is required of us. Sometimes I feel I'm not doing so good, and I'm made aware of how much humanity I really walk in. But then I'm reminded that little by little we can take the land, so I press on to that perfection until Christ is formed in me. Well, that's my story, or part of it. May God bless you all. Bye.
Well, God bless Jim, Brother Jim, and having the courage to, open himself up, open his life up. It's very serious what's going on here. You don't have to be part of that movement to be exposed to religious spirit. You can be living in the middle of a cave somewhere, in the middle of a cave, just yourself, and be exposed to him. He was exposed to him because he was part of that movement, and those spirits, the Antichrist spirit, started that movement. So how can you not be affected by it when you're in there? Not at all. It was a wonderful testimony, wasn't it? And I appreciate it. He gave that because he wants to help God's people get free and stay free and not be deceived by those spirits. And that's, he's doing his part. Give a testimony, bear witness to what the devil is capable of doing to people. No matter how sincere you are, no matter how much you're religious you are, I'm really grateful he did that. Anybody have anything else they want to share? Or you want to comment on that? That's right, Lisa. Amen. It was a wonderful testimony. Show us how faithful God is to help us when we repent. Well, let me share something with you then before we close. And if you have anything to share to this, go or feel free. I sat down today. I wanted to put something out because I was distressed. I was upset. I was whatever you want to call it. Frustrated, grieved. I don't know what you want to call it. By one of these preachers out here that was talking against the Dominionist movement. Now, Jim was part of the Dominionist movement for a while. That's that whole thing, Mike Bickle's Dominionism, right? And some people can see that that's wrong, but there's some people that are trying to expose that error with other error, see? And it's just frustrating when you hear somebody that's trying to expose something that is very much an error, but they're using another error to expose it. It's very frustrating. And that's what I ran across the other day. I listened to some message that somebody gave. And I just want to share it with you tonight. It's not real long, but maybe to help you to be able to dissect, to tell a difference, to discern a difference between, what's truth and what's not truth when it comes to the Dominionist thing, right? This Bible teacher was quoting some of C. Peter Wagner's statements. You know who C. Peter Wagner is, right? He's the head apostle, the apostolic movement, all that, the New Reformation, the apostolic reformation, all that. And he was quoting some of the things Peter Wagner said to show how unbiblical his teachings are, this whole Dominionist thing. And much of what this guy said regarding Wagner's error and the whole Dominionist error was very true, and it was pretty good. Unfortunately, his main point, the main point he was trying to get at in that message, was just as false as the error he was exposing. And I said this before, I think I'll say it again, I'll probably say it again after this, but when it comes to discernment ministries, these discernment ministries are out there who've taken it upon themselves to, correct everybody and show everybody what the apostasy is all about. Many of them use their own doctrinal errors to expose the more obvious errors of the apostasy. And this is just one more example. The point of this guy was that Satan does not have dominion over the earth. Okay, his point is, all these dominionists, and well as the Word of Faith people, they have a central doctrine they're all preaching. It ties them all together. And it's the idea that Adam transferred dominion over the earth to Satan when he fell. And this guy goes through a lot of these ideas that come from that idea. A lot of doctrines that are based on that, which were wrong. Okay, and since those ideas he was talking about were wrong, and he did a good job of explaining them, I'm sure those who are listening to him just assume that the rest of what he said, which was his main point, must also be true, but it wasn't. So the point was, like I said, there's one fundamental idea that unites all these errors that are being taught by today's dominionists, and also by the Word of Faith teachers, and that's the idea that Adam was given dominion over the earth, and he lost that dominion to Satan when he fell. So first, this Bible teacher reads the passage in Genesis where the dominion mandate is given to Adam. Okay, it says this in Genesis 1:26-28. He says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth."